Good day, dear student. I'm Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah. Our lecture today is on nature and characteristic of tourism. We will try to understand what is the nature and characteristic of this tourism industry. So, all set? You are listening to Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah, that said. What is the learning objective? What are we going to learn in this particular chapter? Understand the nature of tourism. We will learn on the nature of tourism. Know about the different characteristics of tourism. What are the characteristics that they add up to make this as a tourism industry? Understand different factors affecting the tourism industry. So basically, what are the factors that have effect on this tourism industry, that bring changes, that diversify the variance that brings in an impact or affect the tourism industry. So what are these travel and tourism industry sector? How does this tourism industry becomes as a industry? What are the sectors? Accommodation. So in tourism, basically, if you need to have accommodation to go and stay somewhere. So this is a part of tourism industry. Attraction. Why do people go to a place? What attracts them? What is the pull factor? Why do people go? People go to, say, for example, people go to look at Dudhsagar, or people go to Statue of Unity. People go to see Taj Mahal. People go and visit a particular temple. People go and visit Pushkar Mela. All these are attraction, man-made or natural, both combined. But attraction that attracts tourists. Then who are travel planners for this? Who are the travel planners? How do they manage and bring this tourism sector together? What are those? What is tourist place and the destination where they go? What constitute a tourist destination? So we will understand tourist places and destination marketer. When we have a tourist place, we have an attraction, we have a place to visit. How does the destination marketers work to make a destination attractive, invite, offering accommodation and attraction? So if you look at all these sectors, they are linked and interlinked with one another. Without attraction, no one go to a destination. Likewise, without providing an accommodation, how would a tourist would stay somewhere? What type of accommodation, how much they can afford to pay is a secondary thing. But you need to have an accommodation. Be you go to Mathuram or you go to Agra, or for that matter, Delhi or anywhere else. You need to have accommodation, transportation. So all these sectors are interlinked to one another. So accommodation, wide range of accommodation, depending on each one's budget, depending on what one is looking forward for as a tourist in the accommodation that he or she is searching. So accommodation could be any hotel, starting from 1-star to 5-star to 7-star hotels, like what we are talking about, Burj Al Arab, the only 7-star hotel in the world, ranking as the top star hotel, Burj Al Arab, or 1-star hotel with basics of any accommodation that one look forward, the lodges and the dharamshalas, the lodges where people go and just stay, or dharamshalas run by charitable organization or at a very minimum cost at various religious sites, like you go to for religious tourism. So tourists generally go there and stay at those dharamshalas. They are again where a form of accommodation. Private guest houses, what they say is B&B, bed and breakfast, where you just go, you are given a bed, an early morning of breakfast, And that's it. The whole day you are on your own. The traditional style of B&B, bed and breakfast. And private guest houses, generally what you see close to a tourist attraction, right opposite the railway station, a bus station, a religious site, all those private guest houses without any particular international branding onto them. Stand alone, all those private guest houses which are built by people of that particular area itself, or resorts, the farmhouse, excellent properties that have been developed in urban, in rural areas, where there is a great attraction, and that resort itself is a destination for many such resorts. Like you go down to Igatpuri, you go down to Karjat. There are a lot of such resorts on your way to either Pune or Nashik. There are many resorts. Giving example from Mumbai, likewise, you have many such examples. Within the outskirts of a main city, within a range of 100 kilometers, there are a lot of resorts where people just go, and that itself is a destination. So resort, farmhouses, we all know farmhouses of your friend, your somebody renting it out within a farm where you stay and have fun and have holiday, leisure, those type of accommodation, or holiday and vacation spot, which are purely meant for vacation, nothing else. Just go down there, spend two nights. So these are again vacation spot. Hotels can vary in big numbers. There are different classification of hotels. Anything from this, what we are seeing, to few hotels which are called also motel. You know, other than star branding, airport hotels, which are close to airport, where the passengers stay just for a night until such time that they have their other business to go out of that area. Or motels built at the on the highways, say from Mumbai to Ahmedabad. There are a lot of such motels where while you drive and to spend a night, you stay in those motels. So those are again hotels. Then conference and exhibition center. Many conference and exhibition center which have capacity to hold conferences to up to 700-800, up to 1,000 people, those who can attend and can stay in those wide conference and exhibition center where they have accommodation linked to it. So these are accommodation, different type of accommodation suiting to anybody's budget, what one can offer to what you. Attractions. Now, as I was saying, to attract a tourist, you need to have natural or man-made attractions. So that could be heritage sites, like you have heritage sites like Qutub Minar, you have Ajanta, Ellora, you have Taj Mahal. These are all heritage sites. You have got tourist places created by human being to attract man-made attractions, tourist places where tourists go and see those spots as a holiday, theme places based on local attraction. There are theme places that have come up in many years that attracts tourists. Theme places, like example, Disneyland, Disney World, or from Mumbai you have Tikkuji Ki Wadi, or many such examples can be given. Those are the theme places based on local attraction. People go for that, linked to that local attraction of the local populace, those who live in that area. Wildlife park. How can we forget huge amount of national park of our country where we have all type of wildlife, right from Cobert National Park to Kazimara to Gir National Park. All these are national park, and they have, and of course in Madhya Pradesh, many such resorts are there which are linked to the wildlife, where the tourists stay in the wildlife itself. They can hear the roaring lion in the resort itself, can also see wildlife moving around in the night in that same resort, and so on and so forth. These are also accommodation and attraction where people go for religious tourist places, Various religious tourist places have got their own attraction. People go down to Shirdi, people go down to Ajmer. I gave you a lot of examples beforehand. People go to Haridwar, Rishikesh, where you see the Lakshman Jhula, or you go to Vaishnu Devi temple. All these are religious tourist places where tourists go. Buddhist monastery in Ladakh also is an example. Go Lotus temple in Delhi, or any attraction for that matter, which has a religious value into it, people go there for that type of religious tourism places. Adventure tourism and sport activities, like sport activities linked to adventure tourism, could be anything from bungee jumping to skiing resorts in Kashmir, or line zipping, or rock climbing, or scuba diving, or for example, going for bungee jumping. I gave the example of any adventure tourism activity, including rafting, snorkeling, kayaking. All these are adventure sport activities, soft and hard adventure activities. This attract tourists. This attract tourists for that. Bungee jumping attracts a lot of tourists. Parasailing or hot air balloon sailing. Attractions. And regional or local festival attract also big number of tourists. You go to Sankrant Kite Festival, Baisakhi in Punjab, or we talk about Ganesh Visarjan in Maharashtra, Durga Puja in West Bengal, and so many such. These are religious and local activities combined, regional. It happens only in some areas, like the Durga Puja of West Bengal is famous around the, and likewise regional festivals in other countries. For example, the Tomato Festival in Spain is very famous. The famous Carnival in Brazil, where a huge number of international tourists flock in the month of February, only for those type of regional festivals that happen in Brazil. Likewise, on a very small form, it happens also in our state of Goa in February, the Carnival Festival, but on a very small scale. So all these are attractions for which the tourists go and enjoy what we just spoke about, or go and utilize that. It look about the transportation as a tourism sector. Any successful tourist destination is only possible if they have connectivity, accessibility, what they say. Accessibility, like attraction, another alphabet, A, used for accessibility. And accessibility happens through mode of transport or good road infrastructure. What type of road is available? How are the connectivity by rail, by bus, the highways, the flights, the train services, the river transport in countries where water sources are used for traveling? So those are all transportation. Shipping and cruise. Now, traditionally, about 50 to 70 years back, people always believe that ship is the mode of transport to go from point A to point B. I'll give the example of various Indian scholars when they traveled, like Mahatma Gandhi, when he went for his further studies to UK. The mode of transport he used was ship, because those days flights were limited and not so long haul could go. Even crossing the Atlantic as a mode of transport with air flight only started in the tail end of 60s. Until such time, the travelers were going by ship and crossing the Atlantic, say from London to New York, or say from somewhere in Europe to America. And only after arrival of the wide body aircraft with more fuel capacity, that mode of transport was made available. So transportation, anything from air travel to cruise. Now cruise has become very famous It is an industry that will again see a big boom after COVID protocols are allowed and people will start cruising, especially when people are sure about their safety and hygiene onto it. Right now, the mere concern of international travel is the safety and hygiene and their health point of view. And what the promoters of transport arrangements or destination managed companies, including the governments, are looking forward is to provide hygiene and safety to the traveler. So mode of transport, cruising now. Cruising, very famous mode of transport, because though it's in the ship, but with the cruise liner, you can visit 7, 5, depending on the number of days of itinerary that you have, you can visit so many places without getting out of your airship. Despite taking your baggages out of your ship that remains on the ship itself in your cabin, you see many cities, be it is a Mediterranean itinerary or a Caribbean itinerary or on the Far East, say Malaga, Singapore, onward to Thailand and so on. You see so many cities by using cruise liners. Railway transport, we Indians are fully aware of how we use rail as a mode of transport. A, it is faster. B, it is comparatively cheaper than using buses or aircraft. And of course, very fine railway network that we have. And we are improving on our quality of service on the rail network as well. So that is another mode of transport. Buses, coaches is again mode of transport which people use for utilizing the tourism services through this sector. Also vehicle, personal vehicles, rental, car rental, and obviously privately owned vehicle as a mode of transport. All these are components of a mode of transport. Now, who are travel planners and organizers? This is again a sector that is very important in the growth. Travel or agencies, the traditional travel agencies who make up a travel plan by combining various sectors, the tourism product to be sold to the end user, to the passenger or the traveler. They are travel agents. They could speak to an airline, get the seat confirmed for you, speak to another service provider, book up a tour package, get a hotel booked for you. So they are all travel agents. Tour planners, those who design your travel tour. Now, designing a travel tour is very important because you need to see things that you want to them to show it to you. There are two ways of tour planners. One are the traditional tour planner who have set itineraries available. One day here, 2 day here, 1 night here, 2 night here. See this, this, this. These are ready-made itineraries that are available. There are tailor-made tour planners. Those who work what you demand from them. I want exactly this, 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 and I don't want to visit X, Y, Z places. So these are the type of tour planner who would cater to the needs of the end user as a service provider or a sector that is very important. Then we have got conference organizers, travel agents, travel agencies, I think same. Travel agents could be selling their own product or could be buying from a wholesaler, mark up, sell it to the end user, provide some services of explanation and other things. But basically the product is of someone else. Could be combining various things by buying from different service provider and making up an itinerary. Role of a travel agent, conference organizer. Now this is a very rewarding industry of arranging conferences where the needs are totally different from a leisure or a pleasure traveler or a fun traveler. Because conference organizer would look into what the conference aim is, what is the turnout, what will be the need for different public address system, banquet facilities, function facilities, arrangements, what type of arrangement, how they would be transported if the function is happening in the same conference center or in other area, how they will be moved. All these are part of a conference organizers who are falling in the category of MICE organizers. Then booking agencies, those who just book, they take a booking from you and they have a rate available to them. Accordingly, they book, or they would call on your on their behalf or your behalf and they would get a rate for you. Also, leisure travel planners and organizers who plan itineraries according to certain arrangements for leisure travel. Not necessarily accepting the component offered by the tour organizer or the travel agent. They design their own thing, or as per the requirement of the consumer, they would prepare a travel plan. So these are again sectors involved in travel and tourism. Tourist places, what we visit, they only market their destination. People would like to go to visit Taj Mahal. There would be expert who would sell you the city of Agra, the city tour, visit to Taj Mahal, other areas of importance, possibly nearby areas of Fatehpur and other areas nearby. So they will be selling the tourist places. These are also important factor sector of tourism industry. Also the entities referred to national travel destination or department, departments, which broadly fall under Ministry of Tourism. They are the NTOs, entities, National Tourism Department. Like in our case, in India, we talk about Incredible India, Ministry of Tourism. They are the National Tourism Department. Their role is to promote India in domestic and international markets and create an image. After creation of an image of a country by providing details, marketing them, the other sectors which we just saw, travel agent, tour organizer, conference provider, and other service provider will come in support of what National Tourism Department would have advertised and promoted. Then we have got regional or state local offices. This basically refers to the different state tour department, tourism, state ministry of tourism, like Maharashtra tourism, like Karnataka tourism, like Gujarat tourism, Kerala tourism, Rajasthan tourism, or Andaman and Nicobar as a union territory, or Silvassa tourism. These are all domestic tourists or state local tourist offices from Indian perspective. Internationally, as I said to you, lot of destination themselves, region themselves, or state themselves are promoting international market for international as well as domestic traveler on their own, standalone. They promote where the funds keep coming to those organizations from various players in the market who are having their own businesses. They provide funding to run and promote this. So these are regional state tourists and travel association. Moving further, goods and services. So what are these? Goods and described as purchased product resulting in the ownership of physical item that may be used or consumed at the customer's choice of time and place. So services are not tangible product. The quality of service, the satisfaction of a quality service depends once that is offered. So somebody is going buying a city tour of Dubai. So you cannot just say, okay, like you can eat something, you can dine something, but these services that we are talking need to purchase this to enjoy them. So once you have purchased, you have paid a price for a city tour of Dubai, half-day city tour or one-day city tour. Unless you consume it, then you will feel the product. You have to get connected to the product. You have to be there in Dubai to avail that city tour of Dubai. So this is how it becomes goods and service. Goods, of course, could be certain thing like airline ticket. You have bought a ticket, that's a goods that you have bought. But the service that airline would offer on a flight is the service that is offered. So services are intangible, as I was saying. You cannot feel the service, touch it by human touch. They cannot be even seen, but can be experienced. You cannot say, I enjoyed 10 kilos of enjoyment. But you can say, I had an excellent time on my city tour in Bangkok. I thoroughly enjoyed. The service quality was excellent. The tour guide was professional. These are the compliments that people give to the service that was offered to him or her. So it has, after experiencing, after getting connected to that product at the place where it is offered, you cannot enjoy Dubai tour in Mumbai other than just reading it, what you would be seeing. But to physically be in Dubai to enjoy that, so it is intangible as a service. Services are described as purchasing product that do not any ownership. You haven't taken anything in your hand as such, but allowing the customer to have the experience or use of a service, usually at a specific time and as a specific location. So you can only enjoy, as I said, a city of Dubai. You would read all the detail provided to you by the service provider in a form of the itinerary that would be written for you and would be handed over to you, for which you are paying a price. But you cannot avail that until such time that you go to Dubai, sit in the vehicle and start taking the benefit out of the money, the goods that you have bought. So that's a service intangible, linked to the location and a specific time. If you are paid for a 1st January city tour, you cannot just say, I paid for 1st January, I didn't come on 1st January, now I've come on 15th of January, I paid for that, you should give me this service available today. No. So the buyer of a ready-made luxury watch, this is an example to understand, takes it from the store and wears it when and where he likes it. The producer need to have no further involvement unless the product has any defect. So if the service is offered for 1st of January, you have to avail this on 1st of January. Time and location in Dubai. You cannot utilize that in any other city. Tourism is an amalgam of phenomena and relationship rather than a single one, combination. These phenomena and the relations arise from a movement of people to and stay in various destinations. There is a dynamic element, the journey, and a static element, they stay. So these services are available in the format where they stay. The movement to the destination is of a temporary, short-term character. So what happens? You have been to Dubai, you avail that, that's all. Once you come back, you have the memory. You have fine words to explain. You have enriched yourself with that enjoyment. But you cannot weigh that. You cannot put it into a scale where you can say, hey, this is what I enjoy. Look, this coming up in front of you. No. So this is linked of a temporary or a short-term character. they are inseparable. You have understood that it is inseparable. You cannot avail certain services without getting part of it, without going to Dubai. By sitting in Mumbai, you can have a virtual reality view of it, but you cannot feel that the wind blowing in Dubai. You cannot see the real mountainous region, the desert, the sand dunes of a Dubai desert safari in front of you with your naked eye and the reality of it. So they are inseparable. Sometimes associated with the intangibility and heterogeneity or variability. It varies. They are perishable. This is a question. In real term, we understand perishable means one which loses its value or it stales, it gets decayed, damaged, whatever. Say you bought an apple, after 2 days it start perishing, decaying, and the quality that you bought on the first day will not remain at third or fourth or fifth day. So that's perishable. How come the tourism products are referred as perishable product? Two examples I will give you. Understand it from the, you bought a ticket for 10th of January to fly from Mumbai to Dubai. Or there are 200 seats on an aircraft for a flight going from Mumbai to Dubai on any specific date. Passengers or the airline, with all their sales and marketing activities, can only sell 150 seats. The aircraft is ready to take off, leaves the gate of departure from the airport, on the runway, takes off, airborne in the air with 50 seats empty. No way the airline can get 50 passengers from anywhere while the aircraft is flying. So those 50 seats, that could have generated some revenue, less or more, was only possible if those 50 seats were sold at some price to fill the aircraft and take 200 passengers on the aircraft, fully boarded passengers, revenue coming with 200 passengers at the time of departure, because there is a capacity of 200 passengers. So those 50 seats had perishable value. Only 150 passengers paid, 50 seats empty. Airline earned no money. Now they can't generate revenue by any way once the flight is airborne and reach the destination. Likewise, a hotel room that is available for the night of, say, Sunday, and guests out of 200 rooms, only 180 rooms were booked, 20 rooms were vacant, it will not bring revenue next morning for those 20 empty rooms that could have brought revenue if they were sold at a different price level. So this is how a tourism product is of a perishable nature. It should be sold before the date and the time and the place it is meant to be sold. Otherwise, it attracts no revenue. Thank you very much.